Our purpose in this 40 days is to grow deeper in our relationship with one another, but also to grow deeper in our relationship with our community. Of how can we impact the people, our neighbors, our friends, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our brother, our sister, our mother, our father, our coworker? How can we grow deeper in ministering and loving and sharing them? I enjoyed that song. I hope you enjoyed that song because that's what we're about. And this morning we've been looking at, and what we're looking at is to understand this. In these 40 days, so often we are challenged to be God's people, to be out in the world and to be sharing the message of Jesus. And what I want you to know and what this study's about is we do it better together. That we don't have to be out as Christians as lone wolves and a lone ranger. Even the lone ranger had somebody with him. We need one another, and we are better together. And yet when we are better together, there is challenges. Look at the scripture with me. In the same way, even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. We're different. Here's the challenge. God made us better together. We're connected with one another. And yet, there's problems. You know, anybody ever been in a relationship that has struggles? Anybody? You know, you have a relationship, things just don't work out. You know, there's differences of opinion, differences of likes. To me, it'd be, why couldn't God just make everybody the same, then we could all get connected and never have a problem? Wouldn't that be nice? But it's not that way. God made everybody, and yet he made everybody different. I mean, I like that. He made everybody, and we made everybody individuals. And yet he expects us as individuals to connect. And in the midst of that connection, there is always struggles. There's always trouble. It's just the reality of our relationships. You're going to be, no matter, I don't care where you go, what you do, you're going to be in some relationships, whether it's at work or friends or wherever, even family, where you don't get along. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about. What destroys relationships and what builds them? That's what I want us to look at this morning. What is it that destroys those relationships? What is it that thing that brings relationships down? That we need to identify those things. And then from that identification, what is it that I can do to build relationships? Because see, God created us to be with one another. It is not good for man to be alone. Anybody recognize that verse? That's from the very beginning in Genesis. We need one another, and yet in that need, it's hard. It's hard because we're different. And so this morning, what I want to do is I'm going to look real quick at four different things that destroy relationships and how we can turn those things around to build relationships. So in your worship folder, you'll find a little piece of paper. It's an outline of the message this morning. So I want you to pull it out, and let's look at the very first thing. If you're going to destroy a relationship, here's one thing, and I'm sure you can all find this one in the relationship. Selfishness destroys relationships. Selfishness destroys relationships. I want what I want, and I want what I want now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we need to understand selfishness is not a positive thing when it comes to relationships. And as I thought about selfishness and the struggles that we have with selfishness, look at this scripture, because this scripture boils it down for you. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Selfishness. You want it. It's mine. It's what I want. I deserve it. I've earned it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you ever have friends like that? I've worked hard. I deserve it. Why can't I? How come everybody else always? You go to Burger King. You walk in. Above their soda fountain, it says, have it your way. You watch commercials on TV, and what do they say? It's all about you. See, we live in this world, and it's all about us and selfishness. dwells in our lives, and it's always there. But it's not always been like that. Anybody here been dating? Anybody ever have a date? You know, you go dating. Remember dating? I've been married for a few years now. And when you're dating, is it all about you or is it all about the other person? Now, come on, what do you think? You know, when you're dating, it's whatever you want, honey. Wherever you want to go, dear. Oh, that sounds fine, sweetie. You know, whatever they want. You know, it's just okay. And whatever they want. But as time goes along, what happens? And then you get married. Now, I don't know about you, but let me tell you about me. You know, the last one in bed turns the light off. Come on now, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, now don't tell me some of you have never pretended to be asleep. Come on now, you've been in bed and you've been there 2 seconds, and they know you're faking it. Now come on. You know, you guys are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. You know, we're selfish. We really are. And it's just part of who we are, and it's part of what we're like. And it boils down to two reasons, because that's part of our nature. Our nature is to be selfish. Our nature is what's in it for me. You ever hear anybody talk those words? What am I going to get out of this? You know, and it's just part of our nature. When a baby is born, a baby is selfish. I mean, come on now. Here, you get this little baby. They have no compassion for you. They want to be fed at midnight. 2 o'clock rolls around. Guess what? They don't care if you're asleep. They don't care if you worked all day. You know, it's 2 hours. I'm hungry. Feed me. You know, and they want it now, not later. They can't say, oh, they're asleep. I'm going to wait till 6 in the morning, and I'll wake them up. You know? No. Babies are born selfish. That's our nature. It's just, we just live that way from the day we're born. You know? Now, during dating, we'll kind of set it aside, but in the reality is, it comes back around. It's who we are. It's part of our nature. Not only is it part of our nature, it's part of our culture. Yeah, I mean, just watch TV commercials. What are commercials telling you? You need this. It's all about you. You will be better with this. You'll look better. You'll smell better. You'll taste better. You'll be better. You know, and it's all about you. You know, and our culture teaches that. I mean, you go to a restaurant, you sit down, and what do you want? We were talking about this in our Sunday school class. That waiter, that waitress is there for who? You. Forget that table over there. I was here first. Why did they get their order before me? I ordered before they did. Come on now. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know? We are selfish in our nature. That's who we are. Look at the scripture here. Look at the next one. Selfishness only causes trouble. You are much better off to trust the Lord. Selfishness only causes trouble. You know? And we do, and we battle that, and we go after that, and that's who we are in our lives, and that self-centeredness. In our lives. Oh, I found this story here. I was going to wait and tell it later, but one of the books, Dennis Rainey is a great marriage writer. He does Weekend to Remember. I've been to the Weekend to Remember and some of those kind of conferences. He wrote a little thing that was about marriage and about selfishness, and I thought this was great. The first year, baby darling, I'm worried about that sniffle. That cough sounds bad. I've called the paramedics, and we're going to run you to Stanford University. They're going to take care of you, and I know you hate hospital food, so I arranged to have gourmet food brought in for you while you're in the hospital. That's the first year of marriage. The second year of marriage goes like this. Sweetheart, I don't like the way that cough sounds. I've arranged for the doctor to make a house call. Let me tuck you into bed. Third year rolls around. Honey, you look like you have a fever. Why don't you drive yourself to Target and pick up some medicine while I'll tuck the kids in for you? The fourth year rolls around. Look, be sensible. After you feed us and bathe the kids, wash the dishes, you really ought to go to bed. Fifth year. For Pete's sake, do you have to cough so loud? I can't hear the TV. Would you mind going to the other room while the show's on? You sound like a barking dog. Now it goes like this. You know, the first year of my marriage, my wife brought my slippers and the dog barked. Now the dog brings my slippers. I'm not going to say the rest. Selfishness. Are we selfish people? I mean, is that in our nature? I've seen this. It's breaking my heart. The economy has crashed, and I've seen people just throw other people under the bus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, forget this. I'm going to take what I can get, and you just, I'm sorry for you. Good luck. That's just selfish. I mean, it's selfish, and that's how we live. So how can we battle selfishness? We battle selfishness by selflessness. When I'm selflessness, look at the scripture here. And look out for one another's interests, not just your own. Do we look for others' interest? Do we have compassion and understanding for others? Are we going to look out for them? That's a challenge. Because when we walk in, we worry about ourselves and what's in it for me and how much am I going to get. And selflessness is always about me. You get aggravated when that person is always late. Anybody know what? Yeah. Yeah. They're always late. Always late. And you get aggravated. And selflessness. What about when new people show up? You know, what do we do? And how can you be selfless? Can you listen? And I mean, we need to think about how are we with selflessness. And do you know that you can change others by your behavior? That when you run into somebody who's selfish, if you start being unselfish, if you start being selfless, that over time it works with them? Now, I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself. Being selfless is hard. All right? I mean, you know, it's funny now. We moved the furniture and we found an extra remote to our TV. So she's got a remote and I got a remote. You know, and it's like you're changing TV and it's not going your way. And you look over there and they got the remote. You only need one and it belongs to the guy, okay? That's just the way it works. You know? What are we going to watch? Where are we going to go eat? What are we going to go do? Are we selfless in our actions? But our nature is not. Our culture is not. So how are you going to fight that battle? I'll just be a strong person. How long do you think you can be submissive? How long do you think you can be selfless? I don't know about you, but maybe 15 minutes? It's a challenge. We need help. Look at the scripture again. Here's another scripture. My counsel is this. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Circle that, God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. In order to be selfless, you need God's help. Because you're going to be fighting the culture. You're going to be fighting your nature. It's an endless battle. You know? Anybody can be selfless for 5 minutes. You know? I can put up with that dumb show for 5 minutes, but now it's my turn. Anybody can do that. In order to really be selfless, you need the help of God's Spirit. And I want to make sure, you know, as we look at this, it's not like, oh, this is so easy. Building relationship, it's not work. It comes really smooth. You don't have to struggle with it. I want you to know it is work. And it is tough. And it's not easy. But you don't have to do it alone. You can have God's help. That's why it just works better together with God. And we need to work at that. And we need to work at being selfless. And you can change, but you got to work at it. But ask God for help. So the first thing that you need to worry about in a destruction on relationship is selfishness. I'm sure you've had friends that you just got tired of and you don't hang around with them anymore because all they did is what they wanted to do. They always went their way. You know, they never wanted to do what you wanted to do, and the relationship's gone. We need to learn to be selfless in our relationships. The second thing that causes problems and destroys relationships is pride. Pride destroys relationships. Pride gets in the way of relationships. And we need to see that. Now, when I talk about pride, most of us feel we're not prideful. You need to know, I am not prideful. I just got a good ego, okay? You know, and I stroke it all the time. And now, ego stands for this. I wrote this down. I wrote it down somewhere because I was going to forget it. Edging God out. That's what ego stands for. You're edging God out. And so, I don't have pride. I just got a good ego. Or I don't have pride. But let me give you some characteristics of pride. Perfectionism is a characteristic of pride. You know, perfection. Everything has to be perfect. And I can do it perfect, and it's pride. Did you know stubbornness is a form of pride? It's my way. It's me. And stubbornness is a form of criticism is a form of pride. Comparison is a form of pride. Competitiveness is a form of pride. And some of you are prideful today. You're wearing Giants colors, and you're prideful today. I want to see Dodger blue, all right? Yeah. And you're prideful today. But, it's that competitiveness. You know, we think, well, I'm not pride, but did you see what so-and-so was wearing? But I don't have an issue with pride. I don't have an issue with my ego. But can you believe what so-and-so did? See, that's pride. And see, pride is destructive to relationships. It brings them down and it brings us down. Look at what the scripture says here. Pride only leads to arguments, but those who take advice are wise. Pride only leads to arguments. See, here's one thing that's good about pride. You know, you might not think you're prideful, but pride is self-deceiving. I remember one time I was took the kids to camp, and I was coming back from camp. Bringing the kids back with the counselor and the chaperone with them. And I asked her, what does she think about me? It was a woman and all the kids are in the car. We had a bunch of girls go up that year. And she goes that I had a big ego. And it's like, whoa, I better check myself. You know, how do others? You know, and pride can be a problem. And we need to realize that in our relationships. And we might not think, well, look at who I am. That might not be the pride. But if you have that spirit of criticism, that comparison, that judgmentalism, that stubbornness, those are elements of pride. I shared with you a few weeks ago as I was thinking and I was reading again and praying over another situation. You know how, and I shared with you how frustrated I am as a driver with the morons on the road today. And I would share that with you. And I was reading one thing, and it made me realize, you know what that issue is? That's an issue of pride. Because I got the great driving skills, and they don't. If they would just learn to drive right like I do, we'd be much better off. I realized, I never thought about it in that term, but you know what? I have a pride problem when it comes to driving. So if you don't drive well, now listen, it's 55 in the one lane, 65 in that one, and 75 in that one. If you're not there, get out of the way. You know? I'm just being sarcastic there. Not really, but I should be. But see, that's a pride issue. I never put it in that ballpark. I never put that over there. I just thought that's, come on, people. But all of a sudden I realized it really is about pride. We need to think about what about that in our life that's bringing down relationships, that causes arguments. You know, I'm always right. Did you know that? And that's how we treat. Look at this next scripture. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I like the way the Message Bible did this. I put this in your bulletin too, in your outline too. Look at what the Message Bible says it. I like the way it says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. I like the way it said that. Have you ever said something like that? The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Pride destroys relationships. I get it right. I'm in the right way. They just don't understand. They don't get it. We compare. We criticize. We're stubborn. We're prideful. So the opposite of pride is humility. So what we need to replace pride with is we need to be humble. We need to work at humility. Humility is what builds relationships. Look at the scripture for this. And we've used this scripture several times, and we'll probably use it over again. Finally, everyone must live in harmony, be sympathetic, love each other, have compassion, and be humble. And be humble. It's not about me. It's not about what I want, what I like, when I want it, how I want it, now, not tomorrow. It's not about that. We need to be humble. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to set ourselves aside and put somebody else in front of us. You know, I go to the store, and we were at Costco yesterday, and what kind of line do I look for? I look for the shortest line, but not necessarily the shortest line. I look in the grocery carts. You know, it might be the short line, but the lady's packed that high, or the guy, you know, it's like, I'm going to find a different line. They got three in their cart. This one might have more people, but it's going to go quicker. Yeah. And then nobody's going to get in front of me. Are we humble? This has five things. I thought this verse was really good because it has five things. Harmony, sympathetic, love, compassion, and humility. I wanted to mention that word harmony for just a minute. Excuse me. God doesn't call us to be all alike. When somebody, and we've seen our singers up here, and you see singers, and we talk about some singers harmonizing. Does it mean they all have the same voice, singing the same key, singing exactly the same? No. It means it's blending well together, and it sounds good. That's what harmony means. See, when it means harmony, means this, that I'm going to be in a group, and we're not all going to agree. We're not all going to have the same opinion. We're not all going to like the same stuff. Harmony means that in spite of all of that, we can have a relationship. We can get along. Excuse me. And that's what harmony is. See, harmony doesn't mean, and this is what you understand in your relationships. This is where humility comes in, that we can be with people who disagree with us. That I can be friends with those who don't hold the same opinion about certain issues and certain questions, who make different choices about life, that we can have some harmony. And I want to challenge us. I think this is a good word as I talk about humility, to talk about harmony, that it's going to be different, and that everybody isn't alike, but we can all get along. We can all work together. That we have a common goal and we have a common purpose. That our goal is to become more like Christ. Our purpose is to do God's will, and we all agree on that. Then we might agree how to do it differently. We might approach things differently. We have different attitudes and different opinions and different personalities, but we can all get along. See, I think that's important to understand, that God didn't take a cookie cutter and cut us all out. You're all the same now, and everything's going to be okay. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't live with somebody like me all the time. I even have a hard time living with me sometimes. Anybody know what I mean? You know, sometimes anybody get frustrated with yourself? Get aggravated with yourself? Anybody ever go, what in the world was I thinking? Why did I do that? Anybody ever do things like that? Sometimes it's even hard to get along with ourselves. But living in harmony with others is a challenge, and we need to work at that. But again, I want you to notice something. Look at this next verse. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you a new person. You were created to be like God, and so you must please Him and be truly holy. Again, I want you to note, circle the Spirit. Let the Spirit change you. Again, it's like selfishness. You can't do this on your own. You know, there's no magic wand that you can tap yourself on the head with and all of a sudden you're going to be a humble person. It doesn't work that way. We need help to be selfless and to be humble. And what I'm saying is, in order to do that, we need God. In order for me to put me aside and put others before me, I need God's help doing that. I need the Spirit of God working in me to help me do that. My nature is not that way. And we have to work at it. And so I want to challenge you as we go through this. What was amazing to me as I looked at the message this morning, every one of these is going to come back to God. Because it's not natural to be humble. We like talking about what we've done and how we've done it. I grew up in an average middle-class family, worked hard, worked all the way. I worked all the way. Laura and I paid all our way through college. Nobody gave us money to go to college. Yeah. Earned our way, pulled myself up by my bootstraps. What are we talking about? I did that. Well, the reality is I've never had to look for a job. I walk onto campus and somebody says, go there and get a job. Guess who that was? That was God. But look, we can say, well, look what I did. I don't think we realize how key and vital God's role is in our lives when it comes to our relationships. We think, well, I can just be this. And maybe we can do it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a half a day. But sooner or later, it's going to wear out. You get tired of being everybody walking on you. Anybody know that? You get tired of being the footstool. You get tired of always giving in. And you get tired of that. And the only way you can get over that is through the Spirit of God. See, and that's why we need that Spirit. So selflessness and humility will battle pride and selfishness in our lives. There's one more I want us to look at. We got two more, but the next one is called insecurity. Insecurity destroys relationships. Look at the scripture. The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Human opinion. We get caught up in what others think of us. How many of you get caught up when you post something on Facebook and somebody says something about that and you didn't like it? Huh? See, we get caught up in what others think, and somebody had commented, and somebody said this. You know, I think Facebook has its place, but I think Facebook is a dangerous thing. I really do. I think it can cause a lot of problems, and this insecurity is one. Because you know what? We all want fame. That goes back to pride. We all want people to know who we are. We don't want to just pass through this world and disappear. We want to be significant. We want our life to matter. And so we get on Facebook, and then somebody says something bad, and then our insecurities sneak in, and things start happening in our lives. Yeah. And we always, well, what did so-and-so say about me? You ever go to work and say, you know, you got it. Well, what did they say about me, and what did they... We always worry about somebody else's opinion and what they think. And that insecurity stirs in our lives and stirs in us. Because, see, we want this intimacy, and yet we fear it. We're afraid of somebody. See, we're afraid that we're going to get exposed. You know, we wear this mask, you know, and I got this preacher mask. I'm the pastor, and I got to look a certain way and dress and act. And I can't say certain words, and I shouldn't go to certain places. And we got these masks. And we don't want anybody to know, and we're afraid that we fear this exposure, that somebody's going to really find out what's going on in my life. And we fear this exposure that they'll hear. What's so funny to me, now, this is kind of a sidetrack. Can you go with me for just a minute? We are afraid of emotional exposure. But what's so amazing to me, people are not afraid of physical exposure anymore. They walk around flaunting everything, things I don't even want to see. You know what I'm talking about? Come on now. You know, we're afraid we're going to get emotionally exposed, and yet we'll go over there and just, here I am. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying be a prude, but I'm saying, you know, I'm going to say it, dress modestly. You know, guys too. I remember Laura and I, we go to these conferences and we're sitting in a hot tub and some guy walks out in a, what is that, Speedo kind of thing? And where's Laura and I are sitting there and there's a lady sitting there, we've been visiting with her, and this guy gets in and he leaves, and you ought to heard her comments. We were just, it's like, does everybody have a mirror in their house? I think when they build houses, they put mirrors in there for a reason, all right? You know, but what's amazing to me is we will expose ourselves, and people don't mind. Here, you know, physically, there's all this exposure out there nowadays, and yet emotionally, we close up and we're closed, and we're afraid somebody's going to find out about who we really are and all of that. See, and we have that fear in our lives, and I just want to encourage us that's that fear of intimacy. We want it, and yet there's some fear in there, you know, of that exposure. But you know, there's also a fear of rejection. Anybody ever have a relationship you've been rejected in? You know, you really had, you know, maybe it's that dating relationship. I was watching, I tell you, you really know when you're getting old. Here's how one of the things. When you're sitting around, you know, we get done with worship practice last night. We go home, and we're sitting around on the couch, and we're visiting and talking and looking through the TV, and we find our kids, we got grandkids, and so when they come over, I always turn it on the Disney Channel, you know, and we watch shows like Sweet Life on Deck, and then what's bad is when you're sitting around on Saturday night and the grandkids aren't there and you're watching Sweet Life on Deck, Wizards of Waverly Place, you know, and then you realize you get old. But I was watching Wizards of Waverly Place last night, and the girl, and it was really funny, the guy filled this out, and he walks over and he gives her this little wooden card, and he says, "I love you." And she looks at him, and she reads the card, and it says, "I love you," and she goes, "I really like you."